Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Oh, what's the best game where you get to eat pie? What's the best game where you play a dead guy? You'll find out on VG247's podcast.
Here, what's the best game where you swing from a rope?
And what's the best game where you batter the Pope?
Assassin's Creed 2.
Like I said, you will find out in this your podcast.
Hello and welcome to VG247's Best Games Ever podcast, where we attempt to find the best game within a very specific category. For example, this week we're looking for the best ultra-violent spectacle. Video games and excessive violence go together like cheese and crackers, Laurel and Hardy, bacon and rolls, PlayStation exclusives, and the score 7 out of 10. Speaking of unabashed mediocrity that has an inexplicably devoted fan club, I'm joined today by Tom Ory. How you doing, Tom?
Hello. I think I'll accept being mediocre if I have a fan club.
So you're not actually mediocre. You're a very exceptional man. But I had to, you know, it's you know how writing works, right? Anyway, best ultra-violent spectacle inspired by the imminent release of Mortal Kombat 1. Is that out by the time this goes out, Connor?
It should be out. Yes, it should be out.
Ooh, okay.
It should be out.
So the very recent release of Mortal Kombat 1, apparently, if we've got our dates right. And we're joined once again by Rebecca Jones. How you doing?
Hello. Yeah, I'm good. Kind of tired. Also, I've sat really weird, so you're going to see me sliding all over the place throughout the duration of this podcast.
It'll take people's minds off Connor's perennially weird setup, so it's fine.
Happy to help.
Take the heat. All right, okay. Let's go with Rebecca, actually. Have you got for us?
Goodness.
If you don't mind going first.
You know what? It's fair that I go first, because basically I am here to just take the L and completely lose this one. I'm going to break my 100% winning streak so far and lose really badly, because basically, ultraviolet spectacle, not ultraviolet? Ultraviolet. Both are good.
Ultraviolet was a good TV show in like the 90s.
Like vampires.
I haven't seen it. I should watch it because I love vampire stuff, but I haven't seen it yet. Ultraviolet spectacle, not something that I would normally expect myself to volunteer for. But I worked out a way I can basically bang on about my personal hobby horse and just take the L and enjoy myself doing it. So I'm going to talk today about the Danganronpa series.
Yes.
Nice. Okay.
I know probably when you think ultraviolence, you think more things like Mortal Kombat, like watching a dude get his spine ripped out through his mouth or something. And Danganronpa, the games are visual novels primarily, so not that. Yeah. But thinking about it, and I talked to our lovely guides editor James Billcliffe about this as well, because he's also a fan of the series, and he was like, actually, that's a good pick. So I decided to throw my hat in the ring and say, even though you don't so much witness every act of violence and they're not the forefront of the screen time of those games, the theme of ultraviolence really runs through the entire series. And so I was like, you know what? I love talking about Danganronpa. I want to go on the podcast and talk about Danganronpa and its silly bright pink blood and its ridiculous execution.
And it's so tense. It's like, it's so unsettling a game to play as well.
It definitely is. As with many people, it became a massive lockdown obsession of mine. There's something about, I think, the closed circle murder mysteries that are core to those series that everyone really resonated with in lockdown. I try not to think about it too hard sometimes. I got really into them over the course of lockdown. I'm still playing my way through the series. And the reason that I thought it was probably worth talking about genuinely in the context of ultraviolent video games is because when you look at the sort of the origins of the word ultraviolence, you think like A Clockwork Orange, it has a lot of those influences. You know, it's about teenagers kind of being left with no supervision to slowly descend into this completely lawless society. And it's also got a lot of the social control aspects of ultraviolence that I think maybe things like Mortal Kombat are missing out on a little bit. As you say, the tension, the idea that people are being pushed into massively violent actions. They're not just committing them kind of their own volition. It's all part of this wider idea of social control, of pushing people to the limits to see what they do. And I just thought it's worth a mention in a discussion of ultra-violent video games, even though like half the deaths in the series are off-screen, the other half are cutscenes.
Yeah. Do the off-screen deaths like get described to you? I've played a little bit of it, but not a lot. But like when a death happens off-screen, I seem to remember you do find out some gruesome details a lot
you
of the time.
You do. So you find a body, basically. So because it's a murder mystery, a body and you have to work out what happened to that person. And at the end of the trial, which is a good half of the gameplay, is the big like rhythm action trial, which is kind of weird in a visual novel, but that's how it works. Yeah. You see like a recreation, like a comic book recreation then of the murder. So it is on screen eventually, I guess, but it's not sort of like you're not an active participant in it in the same way that you would be in a fighting game, for example.
I've got a question, right?
If
you posted a GIF or a small video mm-hmm. onto, let's say, Twitter still, yes. of some of the, what you are claiming is ultra-violence,
yes. right?
Mm-hmm. Would it cause a tremendously awful discourse about violence?
Potentially. I mean, I don't want to, so this is a very story-heavy series. I don't want to give too much away because if people haven't played it, and I do recommend playing it.
Yeah.
The first execution in the series is sickening, in my opinion. And I've talked to friends who've played it and they agreed with me that the first, that really leads in with just a horrific, literally ultra-violent spectacle. I don't know.
Describe it.
Oh God, no, describing it's a spoiler.
Is it safe to assume that based on what you described that these are all kids getting murked?
Yeah, yeah.
They're like sort of 16, 17 years old. So yeah, high schoolers. Yeah.
I'm sure someone would get upset about murdered.
I would be wary of spoiling it because Danganronpa seems to be one of these games that somebody you know is getting into them at any one point in time.
Absolutely,
it's like
Yakuza,
right? It's like everyone's always like, yes. "Oh yeah, I'm trying that for the first time. Don't tell me what happens." So
another question. Mm-hmm. This might upset people.
Go on.
Is this a game for dweebs?
I'm a massive dweeb and I love it, so yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can't play it.
The blood is pink, right?
That's fair. The blood is pink.
Not a dweeb.
And the blood is pink as to not be so absurdly gory as to be like banned in countries, I imagine.
So that's an urban myth, apparently.
Really?
Is that they just thought it looked cool.
Oh,
they just
sick.
Thought that the bright pink looked cool, apparently.
Yeah, it's like the Klingon blood in Star Trek VI. Speaking of
no one. Is that the terrible CGI blood? Is that the one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so you are a dweeb. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I saw that one at the cinema, Jim.
See, it's weird because Tom likes to pretend. Dweebism. Tom likes to pretend he doesn't know anything about these things, but then I'll mention some obscure thing about Star Trek, and he'd be like, "What? Wasn't that the episode with Quark?" And
What have I said many times about this podcast? This podcast, I put on a little show.
Is your persona as a cool guy? Right, okay.
That's why I wear the cool glasses and the £2.50 t-shirts.
Okay. All right. And the video gamer mug in the background. Mm. All right. Okay. Danganronpa's that's a really good pick because
Let's face it, that's one, isn't it? It's actually not bother anymore, Connor.
No.
It's cerebral. It's more, it's ultra violent, but it's like, as you say, it's like the politics of violence, right? It's like a much more cerebral kind of look at ultra violence than, as you say, ripping a guy's spine out of his mouth, which is also fine. You're like, you know, there's no judgment here.
Oh, yeah. I'm not anti the sight of a guy getting his spine ripped out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Didn't want to imply that. Gosh.
Yeah.
Cancelable behavior.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme isn't involved, but it can still be violent. All right. Connor, speaking of guys getting their spines ripped out, you're...
I'm worried about this.
So he sent me a video with all the fatalities this morning.
So. I was so excited for this podcast because there's so much to choose from. There's so much to choose from. And it's very much my wheelhouse of the thing I've been playing.
That's why you're in all of them this week.
Exactly. Ooh. That's why, I think the first game I played when I was a wee boy at the age of, I think, 12 was a Mortal Kombat game.
12?
I think I was 12. I think
that's
I got
quite,
my first...
That's quite old for your first game, I'd
well,
say.
Well, I didn't really have... In terms of, like, first game of my own, I'd, like, played, like, my cousin's Mega Drive and stuff. But I got my first Xbox 360 when I was 12 and a selection of games from that, including Mortal Kombat. And
I've just died. I just literally just turned to dust.
You're quite young, though. That Mega Drive must have been ancient by the time you got your hands on it.
My cousin's, like, hand me, like, he just, I think he had an original Xbox. But he's like, hey, do you want to play the Mega Drive? And it's quite cool.
Yeah.
I was able to kind of go back in my mind and think of games I sort of remember playing.
Yeah.
I remember the original Dead Rising was quite like a gory spectacle.
I mean, fairly violent, yeah.
But I was like, well, we've talked about Dead Rising before in this podcast, and it's not quite enough. You're kind of disconnected from the violence because it's just like waves and waves of zombies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember playing like the Splatterhouse reboot when I was like...
That was violent.
When I was young. In that game, instead of pulling someone's spine out of their face, I think you pulled like their spine out of their bum. I think that's a thing you can do in Splatterhouse. But
it's the way you said bum there in the most kind of like southern English polite way imaginable.
I tried to Google like, okay, how do you play Splatterhouse on like today? Yeah. I wondered if it was on Steam, but it was like a pain in the ass to sort of play. So I Googled the first like opening cinematic and it was the most embarrassing, cringy teenage thing in the world. So I was like, I can't pick this. So I ended up picking Mad World, which is a game for the Wii from Platinum Games. And Mad World is amazing.
It's fantastic. Really good. Yeah, it's like one of the best Wii games as well.
Yeah. It's set in this island, which has kind of been turned into a literal violent spectacle. We have two commentators over this sort of like violent game show where people on this island are forced to fight each other to the gory death. For an anecdote to a virus that's been spread around. And it's all about going out into these sort of linear levels and racking up points, as many points as you can, in order to take on like a big boss at the end of the stage and then move on. And you gain points through killing enemies in various elaborate and gruesome ways. So if you just, as Jack, a big hench dude with a chainsaw arm, just like, punch someone around and then like, you know.
Classic video game.
Yeah, and just throw them into a wall. You'll get a few points, sure. But if you do like a really bloody execution on them or throw them into a big spike on a wall or into a big blender, you get more points. And the reason why this game, I think, is so ultra violent is because the game itself, for the most part, is just black and white. Very sort of like, that's the aesthetic of it, but all the blood is this bright red and it's so over the top that like you get like these really kind of absurd scenes, especially when you mess around at the levels and in boss fights and stuff, where it's just absolutely raining it down. And it's a really good lesson, I think, of doing a lot with a little. And I did a quick Google and a quick YouTube of like sort of the executions in this game.
Have you played this, Conrad?
I played it when I was younger on the Wii. I don't have my Wii with me now because I gave that to my sister who gave it to a friend. So I sadly did a YouTube.
Convenient story, that.
Who owns a Wii still?
I've got one downstairs under the TV.
What? Oh my God.
I think I have two.
I've genuinely been thinking of getting one for the boxing, but anyway.
I was thinking of, if I was to get it again, I'd get Mad World, obviously. I'd also get like Link's crossbow training. That was a banger. But having watched a bunch of the executions on YouTube, it's low-key kind of more ultra-violent and more kind of shocking in some cases than the new Mortal Kombat is.
Yeah.
Because the Mortal Kombat is just kind of like just a pile of goo and a skeleton. There's only so many times you can kind of cut a person in half and it's like... not super, like, the entire game's kind of a bit, it's settled, you know what you're getting. With Mad World, you'd throw some guy in a big cannon and it would kind of erupt in this big red sort of misty violet like spray, and it's kind of like, oh geez, it's like quite shocking. My favorite, and I'll leave you with this, is you can throw someone off a stage into a big ramen bowl,
yeah,
and a big robot in the background that's kind of like eating from the ramen bowl,
yeah,
as a display, will pick up the person and will eat them, and will, yeah, cover the ramen bowl in blood, and then it will continue to eat from the bowl in the background. And it's very bloody, and it's very funny.
That's sick, Connor.
It is sick. And I mean, sick is the kind of level
Brief,
we're aiming
Tom.
For.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
that's
it's
too
the,
much.
It's the level we're aiming for.
That's really good.
It's
really
fantastic. Good. It's a platinum game that's super, super, super gory, and I think that's the best sort of mix.
I reviewed this game. I also reviewed Splatterhouse Remake. Splatterhouse got a 6. This got a 7. So
good choice from me then on picking.
Not sure that's
this
high enough. Not sure that's high enough for this best game. That's evidence that I reviewed both games that you mentioned, and neither of them are that good.
Well, we all know you've got, you know, quite sensible and sort of mature sensibilities about you, and maybe you're just not cool enough for Madhouse.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Mad world. Shit.
I really thought that bringing a visual novel to this was going to make me the outlier. I did not expect a Wii exclusive from Connor.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, the platform it's on, like, you have to imagine how many parents bought this.
Not many.
Yeah, got to imagine they saw that it looked ultra violent.
The Nintendo seal of quality on it and everything.
They don't buy, like, some kind of volleyball. Thinking it's a fighting game.
So you're saying that an average parent could look at Mad World and be like, "Cool, that's ultra violent." That's kind of testament to its ultra violentiness.
How long did you work in a game shop, Tom?
About a year.
I was going to say, I don't think anyone who worked a long time in a game shop would, but you actually did work in a game shop. Most people who have worked in a game shop would assume that parents can in fact just rock up with ultra violent games, and
I mean, it's more the fact that they don't give a shit often. It's not that they don't understand that the thing is violent and that you tell them that it's violent, they're like, oh yeah, it's fine.
I got knocked back from buying an 18 game when I was 17 once because the guy behind the counter happened to know me, and I was just like,
"Yeah, but
fuck off, man.
That's good retailing, because he could have got done for that."
He was like, yeah. I'm really sorry, Jim, I can't do it." I'm like, "What do you mean I'm really sorry I can't do it? Like just like..." That was well over 20 years ago, and I'm still smarting about it. Anyway, okay, right. Mad World's a really good pick, Connor. Fucking hell, you're on fire this month. Okay. Right, Tom, what have you got for us?
Why was that? I don't think I deserve the sigh.
He's bracing for another banger. He's bracing. He's got two good ones already.
I'm holding on for this.
To listen to all these good suggestions.
Yeah, I mean, I've got
a little. I've got a little story first about a moment I almost went ultra violent. Right, so...
Oh, like, in your life?
In my life, right. So, pretty sure I've never said this before, right? So I was in Lidl, yeah?
Yeah.
And I was looking at the pastries, right?
Yeah.
And in my Lidl, they're very near the entrance to the store, right? And if you've been in Lidl before, the pastries are exposed pretty much, right? You could just walk in and grab them, sneeze on them, whatever you want. They're not... It's not like the healthiest... Clean setup, right?
Yeah.
You better use the little tongs, but I've seen people that just do not do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was looking, browsing them, and it was probably, I don't know what time of the year it was, some point in the summer probably, and I noticed or heard even someone say, "Do a poo-poo now," right?
Yeah.
And I was like, "What?" I turned my head in like some kind of like, I was concerned about what this might mean. I turned around and there I saw a mother had produced a potty and placed it on the floor and was instructing her 2-year-old son to do a poo. And this was probably no more than like inches from the pastries in Lidl, right? And then the child proceeded to do a poo, and I was like, what the fuck's going on? I was looking around like, has anyone else seen this happen? Am I imagining this? But no, it was really happening in front of me.
Started smelling burnt toast, etc.
It's just awful scenes. And I was quite enraged at this point.
Yeah.
Had to hold myself back from the ultra violence that this topic is, this podcast is about. But anyway,
are you saying that you were like, you were going to drop kick the 2-year-old, or
I don't know what I was going to do? But if you've never, you don't know how you're going to react until some of these things happen.
Yeah,
right?
Ultra violence to like the British mind is like talking to someone, confronting them.
Yeah.
I was like, should I tell a member of staff?
Yeah. Oof,
I walked on.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, that would have been a totally reasonable time to do that.
I should have done. I'm looking back at it. I think I should have said, but my mind was like, what would the staff member do? Like, walk over and would you kindly not let your son shit in Lidl? I mean,
yes, probably.
Oh my God.
Please don't shift in the middle of.
Because you didn't confront them. How many more times have they done that?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like normal practice now that child is just conditioned
let her away
to
with
always
that.
Do it.
So you've emboldened that child now. That child's going to grow up just shitting in Superman.
Imagine if, like, in 10 years' time, that child who would be like 12 starts listening to a popular video game podcast, goes back to like the episodes, like, whatever this is, 60-odd Sebdo. It's like, oh, that's familiar.
Yeah.
They can't quite figure out why.
Yeah.
There was an angry man stood next to me the entire time.
Yeah.
It's not coming back.
The whole time they've been thinking, that Tom guy looks really familiar, and I don't know, I can't really place him. Mm. I think he loudly tutted at me once.
Shit in Lidl. Oh my God.
So, yeah, okay. Well,
That's just a little story that no one's ever heard before.
That's lovely. Thank you for that, Tom.
Can I give our listeners a little peek behind the scenes of this conversation?
Yeah.
Because you told that story on our work Slack when it happened, and it was my first day on the job. And you made everyone, you said, guess what just happened to me over my lunch break? And you actually made everyone guess. And I really thought that was like every lunchtime you came back with some horrendous story and made everyone guess what had happened.
I wish it'd be podcast gold if I had a story every day.
My first day at this job. Oh my God. Anyway,
I'm
just really
sure
wanted
it's
to.
It's the third time he said it on this show, but yeah.
No, it's not.
All right, it's a second.
You weren't around for the time, Rebecca, where the bird flew under the buggy I was pushing. That's another incredible moment.
That was amazing.
That sounds incredible, though.
Incredible. And in the distance, there was a rat. Random thing happened. But anyway, so my choice for the most violent spectacle video game, I initially thought of one game that I'd played when I was a kid. I didn't own it. But I used to occasionally go around to my relatives, my mum's, so my aunt's house, and she had a few kids who were slightly older than me and my brother. So they had like games that we didn't have, right? And they had this game called Barbarian, which I think it was on, okay, it's like an Atari or Amiga, I can't remember what it was on.
Yeah, one of the shit computers.
It had this bit where if you finished, it was like a one-on-one fighting game, I'm pretty sure. And if you finished the fight correctly, you'd do a spin with your sword and slice the other guy's head off, right? And this little goblin man would walk on and kick it or pull it off or something, the head, right? Nice. And that was, as a child of like, I don't know how old I was, like 6 or 7 or something, this was like unbelievable. Like, and downstairs, our parents were like, oblivious to what was going on because video games were just like kid stuff back then, right?
Yeah.
So they didn't have a clue. We're upstairs chopping heads off, whatever. But I was looking back and it isn't actually that. It's more like Star Wars level, like, because in Star Wars things get chopped off, right? And you just see it roll off in the distance, or that man's wearing a helmet. So it actually doesn't matter that his head's chopped off. You can't see anything.
Yeah.
That's how they get away with it, right?
Yeah.
That didn't count for me. It wasn't violent enough, even though it stuck with me.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I was thinking about like PlayStation 1 launch era was a massive time for video games.
Oh, yeah.
Massively influential times for games because it was like games are cool, games are in clubs. I wasn't old enough to be in clubs, but I knew they were in clubs because everyone was saying they were in clubs.
Yeah.
I've never been in a club.
This was years before you got your DJ spot in Ministry of Sound.
Yeah. So one of the games, I think just after launch, but it was like part of the whole launch period hype wave, and it was on magazine covers. It was also on the demo disc that you got with the console.
Right.
Was Loaded, right? Mm-hmm. Loaded is a top-down sort of ultra-violent shooter, right? It's a bit like Smash TV, even older reference, a bit like, I guess, what's the ultra-violent game that everyone loved that I hate? It was on Devolver.
Hotline Miami?
A bit like Hotline Miami, but years before.
I love Hotline Miami.
Far cooler, though. Far cooler, less annoying. I didn't really like Hotline Miami too much. Right, so, but the point is that it was, like, ultra-cool. Everyone was playing because had a demo with the console, or at least on the first issue of PlayStation Magazine. I can't remember which demo disc it was on, but it was like a demo that everyone had and everyone was playing. But it was so violent for like me as 13, I think I was then, 12 or 13 maybe. And it's one of those games where you just, things just get obliterated and there's blood everywhere all over the floor, bodies. Like you shoot something and suddenly it's just like a skinless corpse lying on the floor. Makes no sense. You shot them with a pistol. Yeah, but whatever. Yeah. but it was just so violent. And it was one of those games that, as a kid, everyone wanted to play this, even though, like, really, it was an average at best game, probably. But yeah, because it was a new console, it looked really cool. Like, it had really cool lighting, had really cool music. All the character designs were, like, a bit sort of, I guess, a bit like Twisted Metal's got, like, the odd characters. This is similar to that, and, like, it had very, very much like these people are probably like serial killers in some kind of
bit of a killer clown
like
thing
if,
going on.
Like, what's his name? The director of like Edward Scissorhands and stuff. What's his name?
Tim Burton
did like a serial killer horror, right? That kind of, these people would be his designs. They're all a bit odd looking. But the point is that it was just non-stop, relentless. Yeah. Running down corridors, guns going off, people were getting blown up all over the place. And I played the demo for like God knows how many hours because the game came out a bit later. But I remember it being on the front cover of magazines, this game. It looked cool. It was like one of the cool launch games. Like you had Wipeout, you had this, you had Ridge Racer and stuff. But I think if you ask people that were there, like launch PS1 era, Loaded stands out because it was just like, whoa, like you can't believe what you're seeing kind of stuff, even though you'd had games like Doom and stuff that had all the kind of people exploding stuff, but this was like done in a very cool way. Makes me sound a bit demented talking about it like this, but this is the topic, right? But yeah, it's just a very cool game. I doubt it holds up very well. Like I imagine it's not like those games do not. PS1 era games mostly are a bit ropey these days. Connor probably like it still.
I mean, I'm looking at it now, and it looks shit. You're right.
No, it's like all the screenshots have like just blood sprites all over the floor, like really pixelated kind of, and it's kind of like it's got that really distinct early PS1 look about it, where you can tell that this probably started development as like a 16-bit game, and then got shifted over to the PlayStation. So like it's a game that could have worked on in some way on like the Amiga or something, but it's like they would have like added some 3D stuff to it. And
I was reading some comments on some YouTube videos, and one person said, I played this when I was 6 or something like that, and then I forgot about it, but I remember having nightmares about it all my life, and I finally found it like 12 years later.
Yeah,
but that's the level of like ultra violence in this game. It caused this person to have nightmares for 12 years.
Yeah. I mean that's why parents should vet the media that they
back then there was nothing, right? I mean, it's no one cared. Even like I think it started sort of around, I can't remember the first big, was it Manhunt? Or Manhunt was definitely one of the ones that had the big, was everyone was suddenly aware that games are, they are violent. Mm. You shouldn't just give them to children. Yeah. I guess GTA a bit before that and stuff. Yeah. But still, GTA was slightly cartoonish originally, wasn't it? So you could just like get away with it. Yeah. My nan bought me GTA.
Mm.
Wow.
Cool nan.
I mean, GTA doesn't exactly like, you know, it shows its full deck. Like, it's called Grand Theft Auto.
I mean, there's a lot of running people over, though, right?
Yeah.
Which you maybe don't expect too much, but
Yeah, I mean, maybe your grand thought that, well, you might be stealing the cars, but you're probably driving them sensibly. So,
yeah, I mean, I role played it as like a normal, like good citizen.
Are you one of these people that plays GTA and like adheres to like the
stops
the
lights?
Yeah, you stop at the lights and stuff. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I hate those people. Right. Okay. Mm. All right. I'm just imagining like sensible Tom as like a 12-year-old just playing Grand Theft Auto in the most sedate way possible. Like, you know, it's not a race. It's not a race, James. Right, okay. All right, well, yeah, it's time to pick something. That done? I was reading about the Etruscans.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Wow. It's,
good book, that. Right, okay. So, right, loaded on PS1. It's violent, but it's a shit game, Tom, isn't it? I mean, it's like proper 6 out of 10 launch game.
You've got to think of its influence.
Yeah.
You talk to anyone with a PS1 back then, everyone played Loaded.
Yeah, but people who had a PS1 back then didn't know what was good and what wasn't. Everyone was dazzled by the fact that games had like camera angles now.
Launch games get a free pass because they are like pushing the boundaries of what you're expecting from video game technology.
Yeah.
This did that in an ultra-violent way. It was the talk of the playground.
I don't know.
People were like dancing to the soundtrack in clubs, I was told by magazines.
Okay.
And I think it just has, like, the other games, I've forgotten even what it's picked. They're so lacking in influence and sort of stature in games industry.
Danganronpa's lacking in influence. It's like,
it's incredibly influential.
It's an ironically, them's fighting worse.
Yeah. It's like, that's such a trailblazer for that genre. It's like a gateway for visual novels. That and Catherine probably got a lot of people into visual novels.
If we do best game for dweebs, I'll accept it. Right? This is not, unless I'm wrong, is this top topic best game for dweebs, Jim?
No, but...
No, there we go.
Motion settled. To change the topic to best game for dweebs.
No.
But I mean, Loaded on the PS1 is a forgotten... oddity.
Forgotten?
Right? Yeah, it's a gremlin game. It was clearly intended for 16-bit machines.
It had a sequel.
I would have been able to tell that just by looking at it at the time, right? It's like, uninspiring, boring backgrounds, boxy sprites.
Oh my gosh.
This is essentially a 16-bit game that has been pummeled into shape in order to launch on the PS1, and it would have worked on the SNES. Right?
Just like you, Jim, I think that the developers should be applauded for managing to get a game that good out on new hardware, completely unknown 3D hardware.
Unbelievable.
Right?
No, because it was out in the Saturn as well.
Oh, screw those developers, screw them.
It was also
just did it really
It was also a launch game on the Saturn.
It, the PlayStation.
It was also a launch game on the Saturn. That's fucking cutting edge 3D hardware, is it?
Saturn is rubbish.
Yeah, exactly. Saturn's rubbish. So we're in agreement. Right, okay.
What even is a Saturn?
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Don't just leave it. Leave it, Jim.
It's fine. It's like a Mega Drive, but it takes CDs. There you go.
Oh, sick. Nice. Yeah. Must have been great.
Not to be confused with the Mega CD. Right, okay. So Danganronpa, I absolutely love the angle you've taken with it because it's like it's so left field compared to any other suggestion we're going to get. But I think I'm going to have to give it to Connor again. And I can't believe this because I'm pretty sure Connor has won like, what, twice? This week, we record a bunch of them a week.
Listen, it's just my topic. It's just my wheelhouse. It's just all me. It's a new era. I would like to applaud us all for picking good games and not some Tom's. Obvious. Even Tom. It's so easy to be like, oh, I'm going to pick like no, hatred no. or Listen. Manhunt. And Tom. He at least went for an angle that we couldn't pick, mostly because we're not ancient.
Tom, I mean, I'm ancient. I'm only 1 year younger than Tom.
Yeah, but you can't pick games.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you just can't beat chainsaws, honestly. Well,
that's true.
This is the key to success in this yeah. is chainsaws.
And listen, Tom was trying to do a Bill Cliff. He was trying to
what?
Get
I
a feather
know.
In his cap by slipping an Bill absolute Cliff. Shiter past me. If I win with this, that means I can win I with anything because it's rubbish.
This is actual a game of importance.
You just,
it's not just some random game
this,
that's
no,
rubbish.
This is Bill Cliff partner. This is you might
you wait for the you, comments.
I bet
off the 10 YouTube comments, at least 20% of those comments.
I bet you workshop that with Heather.
Right.
This is 100% because
she won't like that. You mentioned her on this podcast.
Yeah, because Bill Cliff is on holiday, so you're just filling in for him in every single possible way. Because on some level, Tom, I think you miss him, and I think that's why you tried to slip a shiter past us.
Bill Cliff is my favourite. I won't lie.
Ow.
Right. Well, okay. Well, on that bombshell. Great picks apart from Tom this week. And Mad World. I mean, Mad World's great. What I love about Mad World, I mean, you said it earlier, Cara, but it's that whole thing about how it was trying to do a lot with very little.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember which developer. It was Platinum Games, you said, right? Games. Sega published, right? And it's like... It's this kind of really stark comic book black and white thing.
Mm.
And it was one of the best looking Wii games because like Wii games generally looked terrible because that machine is like that machine is a hairdryer.
It runs on magic.
Like it was actually like good looking Wii games were quite rare, especially yeah. ones that weren't mm-hmm. weren't developed by Nintendo. And it's the most striking Wii game I can think of. It's got such a distinctive look to it. And as you say, the fact that the gore was like bright red and everything else was this kind of like...
Enhances it,
Sin City style. Yeah, it was great. It was, I think there's a lot to be said for our studios having to do like, having to really... push underpowered hardware and coming up with mad ways to make things look good, even though they can't kind of throw resources at it. Anyway, let's not go on
about
it.
Glad you agree.
Here forever.
Glad you agree.
Yeah. Connor's I hate it when you win, Connor. Because like,
why? I'm such a good winner.
Because you're just really smug about it, you know.
Yeah.
In a way that at least when Tom wins, he just sits there and goes, "Thanks."
Yeah, but that's the bit when the camera turns off, you know, you've made his day. I'm at least honest about it. I've got nothing else.
I prefer
going
it when you
today.
Lose because I find it funny when you kick off. It's like when you annoy a cat. Right. Well. Okay, let's all right. Thank you very much for listening, watching. Please leave us a 5-star review, even though we probably don't deserve it. And on your podcast platform of choice. Next week we're doing Best Detective Game, and I think it's we've got the exact same cast next week, right? Yes.
I can't wait to lose once again.
Oh, I can't wait to bring Danganronpa again. Every time now, forever.
Yeah. I'll be sure to break up, you know, the trend and pick a bad game next week.
Yeah, can you? Because it's like, it's getting weird now.
I'll pick a really bad one.
People are going to start making comments about why is Connor winning all the time? How much is he bribing Jim? And I swear I'm not that corrupt.
As if I have the money to bribe you.
All right. Okay. Right. Thanks very much. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.